97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey! Hey! Welcome back in. Andrew Salchunas, I'm Jamie Lynch. We're taking you up until Flyers hockey today at 1. And tomorrow, today's Saturday. Tomorrow joins Joe Stazak starting at 9 a.m. with Jason Mertidis, our old buddy Jason, at noon tomorrow as they broadcast from the Flyers Wives Carnival. There are still tickets available for the carnival and some awesome Flyers experiences. Go to FlyersCarnival.com now and get your tickets. You can even dunk Mark Farzetta in the dunk tank.
Oh, is that
right?
If
you so choose.
Yeah, I was asked if I wanted to do that. And I gave a big hell no.
Nobody wants to see me wet.
What?
Oh, you got dark nipples and not to see nobody in. Nobody wants to see.
I just don't want to go into the dunk tank.
Well, yeah, there's that, but like I don't need to be like nipping out and then, you know, there's pictures of my nipples on Twitter. Well,
that's like a normal day for you.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Dude, it's hot in here, right? I don't have a case of the fats.
It's terrible in here. This place is.
Because I went out for a big meal last night.
I'm sorry, this place is a disaster.
The wife and I had the delayed Valentine's dinner because I was sick the week prior.
Ah, okay.
So I ate a lot last night. So it's very possible I was having a case of the fats. You know, but as long as, you know, it's not just me here with the pet sweat going on.
No, it's fine.
All right, cool.
What was I going to say?
You just brain farted in the most boomerous way possible.
I totally did.
Wow. You all right?
No.
What just happened? Did you have a stroke?
I got distracted by something.
Did you have a stroke?
I'm okay.
All right, you all right? You back?
I'm okay.
Let's go. Big day.
Oh, the Flyers Wives Carnival.
Yes, sorry.
Definitely worth listening to tomorrow because they have players all the time.
I mean,
it is such a great event, not only for the team, now that I got my brain back.
Yeah.
It's a great
Welcome
event
back,
for the
Andrew.
Team, great event for the area.
It's a beautiful event.
But it's also, like, it's great. Listen to the station tomorrow.
Totally. And our buddy Andrea Helfrich, who does the in-arena kind of announcing and social media work with the Flyers, I saw her posting all the Flyers baskets that are up for auction. So each player basically puts, like, their favorite things in a basket. And, you know, it's up for auction. And some of the baskets were pretty awesome.
Cool. That's awesome.
So it's always a good time down there tomorrow. Let's hope we're celebrating a win over Winnipeg today, as we both assume that Carter Hart will be back in action today at home. So we're talking a lot about the Sixers-Bucks tonight. We're also talking a lot about the three most important players for the Sixers, Flyers, and Phillies to have a sustained playoff run. If you missed it earlier, mine were Rhys Hoskins for the Phillies. He absolutely has to get back to form, or this season will be a turd in the punch bowl. It really
yes.
will be.
Yeah.
Flyers, I think Carter Hart is the most important guy. Is it chalky? Sure. But I think it's most important because he needs to win on the road. He needs to sort himself out on the road. He's been phenomenal at home, struggles on the road some, and I'm not a believer in going with the two-goalie Stanley Cup run. So Carter Hart, to me, the most important thing is improving on the road. With the Sixers, I think the most important player down the stretch here is actually going to be Josh Richardson.
Okay.
Because I think the playoffs are won with guard play for the most part. You know, Joel Embiid's an exception, and we'll play a Tim Legler cut for you that's pretty flattering about Joel Embiid in terms of power basketball. But I think Josh Richardson has to step up, and I think he has the potential to step into that Jimmy Butler-esque closer role for them down the stretch.
It's, you know, you say he has to step up. I feel like he's already, like,
he steps up as the leader.
Yeah.
I think he has only scratched the surface of the player he is.
Yeah, I agree. But, like, you know, coming into the season, I thought he was going to be, right, like, the fifth option. And you're right. I mean, he's already playing a bigger role. I mean, I think what he's done so far is great. And I was shocked when he went down and missed those 8 games and they went 2-6. Like, I was like, wow.
That was not a coincidence.
They really missed Josh Richardson during that time. But my three answers, because I agree with you with Hoskins, but I went Zach Wheeler because now you have a second legit starter in the rotation.
Man.
Plus, he needs to stay healthy. If he gets hurt, you're right back to last year with Aaron Nola, and then you throw out a name. It's one of the other four guys
if
in the rotation.
If he does not work out, he will feel the ire of the fan base.
No,
in a short amount of time.
Talent-wise, he will. It's whether or not he can stay healthy. He's a very talented pitcher. So I went Zach Wheeler.
I think he had a 7 ERA last April. So
okay. It's a month. Yeah.
I know. But
guys have bad months.
You don't really exactly want to come out here with a 70 RA as a $108 million man.
You're right, but it's also April when it's cold and he's supposed to be a hard-throwing pitcher. Yeah. It happens, right? It's like Aaron Nola's best when it's hot out because he's used to pitching down when he played for LSU.
It's a good answer because I'm assuming that Wheeler is going to be that guy that stops losing skids. So he better be.
So I went Wheeler for the Phillies. I went Claude Giroux, the captain, for the Flyers. And you go, oh, well, that's an easier answer. It's the captain. No, it's because it's also he's a veteran who's been on the team when they went to the Stanley Cup Finals. He's been to a couple playoff appearances. And you got a young team that's going to make, to me, the playoffs. I believe they make the playoffs this year. So you have a young team that needs a veteran leader. And Claude Giroux, the captain, is the perfect example of that. He's still playing at a high level for his team.
But he had a little cold stretch there, but the last couple games.
He stepped up, scored a couple
goals.
I think
he's got points in the last like five or six.
I think you're right. A couple assists and a couple of goals. So I like that for Claude Giroux. That would be my answer. And then for the Sixers, I said Ben Simmons, again, chalky, but you saw what they missed when he was out against the Nets.
Yeah.
And come playoff time.
That run does not happen with Ben Simmons
exactly.
in the game.
Come playoff time, if he disappears, you're in trouble. So
I really don't want to do an entire offseason. Ben has to have a great playoffs.
Yes.
I can't deal with another offseason.
He
doesn't shoot. He's working in the gym. Kendall Jenner. Blah, blah, blah.
That's why it's really important.
It's a good answer.
For him to be the most important player.
He better be. Let's go back to the phone lines. A couple open lines if you want to get in. Charles in the Northeast wants to talk some Phils and some Joel Embiid. What's up, Charles?
Hey, Jamie. Hey, Andrew.
Guys,
I want to give you my three players, too.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, hosting a baseball show, being so negative on the Phillies.
I'm so excited for the season. Because here's the thing, Charles. I think part of me bought into that when they were in first place last year for a little bit.
See, you're letting that affect this year.
Yeah, it is. Because I go, all right, they did improve marginally. I don't think they have this huge improvement. I think they improved marginally. And let's see, maybe Girardi is that big of a difference where they do win seven more games because he is the manager. But I got to see the talent on the field play out. And we'll see. Is Gregorius the Gregorius that we saw 2-3 years ago with the Yankees? Or is he a 240 hitter where he's going to hit close to 20 home runs and not close to 30 home runs? We'll see.
Listen, Andrew, I understand. I know you want the Phillies to win more than anybody, just like Jamie. And here, I'll give you real quickly why I think they're going to win a minimum of 87 games and more likely 88-91. I think Girardi and Price make a big difference as the manager and pitching coach. I mean, I think that's good for a few wins right there. I think Fleiss is going to make a big difference.
So do I.
I think even with Pivetta, too. I think Arrieta is going to bounce back and be a decent pitcher. Not good, but I think Wheeler just makes that on rotation just better right there. I think the lineup's going to be one of the best. I think it's going to be the best lineup in the division. I think it was last year. I think as long as Hoskins bounces back, they had the best lineup. I think, Andrew, your negativity comes from the bullpen, and I understand that. There's no doubt Washington and Atlanta had better bullpens. But you got to remember, what are bullpen guys? They're guys who aren't good enough to be starters, right? Last year, everyone Washington had hit. Give them credit. They won the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
So like the Phillies in 2008. Maxson hit. Lidge hit. Romero hit. Durbin hit. Doesn't happen every year.
No, bullpen's the biggest crapshoot in sports. It really is.
Absolutely. It is, Jamie. That's why I'm not panicked about the Phillies' bullpen. Yeah, there's worries there. But I think this team's good enough if everything else hits that they're going to be in contention, not only for a wild card, but for the division. Now about Embiid. I think people just got to lay off Embiid, guys. I mean, listen, I get it. People get tired of his antics at times. But the thing is, I think after the Chicago game, people coming on Sports Talk Radio, whether it be callers or hosts, call him immature, call him a baby. It's like Randall Cunningham back in the day. Let him be him.
Mm-hmm.
Let Joel Embiid be Joel Embiid. He's better being Joel Embiid. Going on Twitter, if that makes him happy, let him do it. Now, my three guys for the Phillies, I agree it's Rhys Hoskins. Rhys has to have a bounce back year. I feel without all the analytics, he will. For the Flyers, I feel it's been their best overall player so far this year, Kevin Hayes. He has to keep doing.
He's been great.
And he has to keep doing what he's been doing. I think he's that important.
And I think he's very important to that locker room. I think he's one of those guys that, like, everybody loves, and he's kind of just one of those glue guys. It's just one of those, you know, qualities that almost goes underrated in sports. I think he's phenomenal for that locker room.
And for the Sixers, for all you Ben Simmons haters out there, Ben Simmons, I hope you watched the first half.
Yeah.
You guys with Ben Simmons. Realize how much they miss Ben Simmons defensively, and they miss him overall when he's not there. I hear about the jump shot, but they need this guy if they're going to make a deep run to the finals like I expect them to.
Yeah, absolutely, Charles, and thanks for the call, buddy. Yeah, I mean, I rarely ever tweet at athletes, and I hate when you are talking about an athlete and somebody snitch tweets you to the athlete, and it's the lamest thing that happens on Twitter. I tweeted Ben Simmons the other night, and I was like, please never leave us again. Like, the impact that team
makes,
like, it was glaring on Thursday night. And the Nets are a team that's just pesky and always there. And by the way, Kyrie Irving, that dude has missed a quarter of his career in the NBA.
Which is crazy. He's got a lot of talent. But injuries, right?
And if I'm the Nets, I'm sweating. I mean, look, Durant, you sign 100 times out of 100.
Yeah.
He's one of the best players in the league. But, man, Kyrie.
It all works if those two guys are both healthy together.
But he's also a punk, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he just got voted the VP of the NBA Players Association.
I also have a feeling that he comes off as a punk to, like, us.
I don't know. I think his teammates kind of... I think he rubs a lot of guys the wrong way.
Well, I'm sure he rubs a lot of guys the wrong way when he says, well, some of the guys aren't going to be here. Remember, he had that weird quote earlier in the year.
And this year, he came back from the Nets, and he's like, yeah, you know, the team was clearly missing me. It's like, what, dude?
But then he had, like, this great relationship with Kobe and one of the best basketball players in the history of the game, right? And he gets voted to have this position, so clearly he's respected.
I don't know. It's weird.
It is weird.
He's a very weird dude.
It was funny when not this past game, but the previous game they played against the Nets, when it came out that Kyrie Irving wasn't playing, I was like, oh, damn, I actually feel worse now. You know, it's like, I almost like when he is playing.
He's fun to watch play.
No, not even that. I wish
if they lost to a Kyrie-less Nets, sky's falling.
I also think they're better without him.
Yeah.
This team, at least.
So earlier, and if you can grab this, Tim Legler on Embiid, the Shaq cut there, if you don't mind. I made reference to this. Tim Legler, he's a regular on with Anthony and you in middays. We all love legs. What do you say, legs? We love legs. He's a great analyst up there.
Yes. Yeah. He's awesome.
He is. He's great. He calls it how he sees it. He doesn't play any homerism. He's had his concerns about this Sixers team. But I think a lot of us agree they still have as good a shot as anybody not named Milwaukee in the East. Do you feel that way, honestly, in your core?
I still think Milwaukee's the best team. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm saying Milwaukee is on their own island. And then everybody else in the East, I think the Sixers have as good of a shot as any of those other teams to win the East.
Yeah, I mean...
Your Torontos, your Bostons, your Miamis.
I'm shocked with how well Toronto's playing.
I know.
Shocked.
Pascal Siakam.
That comes back to having Pascal Siakam and a great coach.
Yeah, Nick Nurse is a tremendous coach.
He is incredible.
But I really feel good about their odds with the rest of that group.
I do too.
And I feel as though the Sixers present Milwaukee the toughest challenge of those teams.
So take seedings away.
Yeah.
I'll ask you this. What's your power
rankings? You want to reseed it after the first round?
What's your power rankings of the East?
I honestly thought the Celtics were going to take a dip. I would have Milwaukee 1, obviously. You're talking records don't exist right now, like just how I feel they're going to finish.
How do you feel?
I'd probably have to keep Toronto at 2.
Which is crazy, right?
Because 1, we don't play well there. You know, for whatever reason.
It's been 16 regular season games since the Sixers won in Toronto. Yeah,
which is wild.
Dates back to like 2004.
I'd probably have Toronto 2. See, you might call me a homer. You might call me looking at this through Sixers goggles.
I don't think you're crazy.
I think the Sixers are ahead of the Celtics in Heat.
I don't think you're crazy. I think the Sixers
are... Because I like them head-to-head versus either of those teams in a seven-game series.
Yeah, and that's what 3-1 against the Celtics.
When I'm thinking power rankings now, I'm not thinking record the remainder of the season. I'm thinking a seven-game series. Who do I think is the best of the best? I would go Milwaukee 1, Toronto 2, Sixers 3, probably Celtics 4, Heat 5.
I would still...
Orlando or Indiana 6.
Maybe I'm even the bigger homer. I almost want to say Sixers 2.
I just can't make that case because they can't win up there.
Yeah, and because Toronto just won the championship and they're still playing as well as they are.
And Nick Nurse is a better coach than Brett Brown.
Which is totally true.
So, yeah, I mean, I'd love to put the Sixers too, but I don't.
But I think they can be 3. And then in the grand scheme of things, I think they can get close. I don't know if they get to the 3
seed. Boston needs to go on a losing skid, and they have a tough schedule.
I read through it the other day.
I think it's
very tough.
I think it's fourth hardest in the NBA remaining, maybe even third. So, it's possible they could get to that three seed. It's going to be tough. You absolutely need that four seed.
You can get there. You're one game or half.
No,
game
the four
behind.
Seed's very obtainable.
Yeah, you're right there.
But you need to push for that three seed.
The Heat also have an easy schedule, but the Sixers have the easier schedule.
Yeah, the Heat are a underrated team. They're real deal. I'm not trying to downplay them.
I'm thrilled
them.
That they didn't get Gallinari.
Yeah. So am I.
Because if they did, they'd be trouble. Iguodala alone is not enough for them.
So here's Tim Legler, and I thought this was a really high compliment to Joel Embiid. Here's Tim Legler talking about the power style of play with a center in the NBA.
I think he's the only guy I've seen since Shaquille O'Neal in his prime that you could actually run a low post power offense through and win a title.
Wow. Those are big words.
Those are very big words.
Because that is not the style of NBA in today's landscape. Since Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal, look, I didn't see Wilt Chamberlain play. Yeah. I didn't see Bill Russell play. Shaquille O'Neal was the most dominant player I ever saw.
Boomer.
Yeah. Not best. He's up there.
But one of those
in terms of pure dominance on the basketball court, Shaquille O'Neal was that.
Yeah, I mean, we were when we did the show at the Lee Cora Center, that was 2 weekends ago. Mm-hmm. I told you the night before I watched the Sixers Lakers game one.
Yeah, yeah.
And just Shaquille just eating up Dikembe Mutombo. Like, Mutombo is one of the defensive player of the year.
He
in this
physically
league.
Broke dude's spirits.
It's incredible.
And Joel Embiid can do that. And he can also Euro step.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
That move that he had against the Nets was incredible.
That was filthy. And I'm old enough to remember Shaquille O'Neal at LSU. And I thought, because Shaquille O'Neal used to be skinny.
Yeah.
Like, he used to have that Embiid body. When I saw in Joel Embiid, and he was so raw, much like Shaq was, I thought they were the comparison of one another coming out of college. Now, obviously, their bodies have gone different ways, and Shaq could never shoot three-pointers.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, Joel Embiid is that unicorn that you look for, but that's high praise from Tim Legler right there.
Yeah, it's awesome. Great to hear. And it is true. I mean, because let's face it, you don't have the typical NBA team right now. You don't have like 4 3-point shooters out there. You have guys that can shoot, but
when you need a bucket, Joel Embiid should be able to get it for you whenever he wants.
Mid-range, down the block, wherever, free throw line, you name it.
He's his best, you know, we talked about this with Bob and Mark and Trey the other morning. You know, he leads the league in post-up points. But I think post-up is literally having your back to the basket at some point.
Yeah.
Because I think we all agree that Joel Embiid is best when he gets the ball in the mid-range.
Yep.
And he's I don't think he's ever going to be that dominant on-the-block post-up player. He's better when he has his options.
He should go up strong.
He should be able to. And one of the knocks is he dribbles a little too much, which leads to turnovers and yada, yada, yada.
And the flailing instead of just going up strong.
But a 44-8 run should never happen with Joel Embiid on the court. Let's go over to Seabass. I think he's buying a round of Boilermakers for the boys. What's up, Seabass?
Who's the dead man that threw the salt shaker?
If that's Seabass over there, yeah, he's picking up the round. What's going on?
Hey, man. Big fans. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, thanks for checking in. Points. Is this your actual nickname, or are you just a huge Dumb and Dumber fan?
Well, it's my actual nickname, and I'm a huge Dumb and Dumber fan.
That's awesome.
It's my second favorite comedy.
that's a great nickname.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's a pretty, people enjoy it, especially at work. All right, so two things. One, if the Phillies get rid of the Fanatic or can't keep the rights, I'm 100% out.
I don't think you're alone. I think a lot of people will be turned off, like my wife included. She said that would be a real bummer.
You're not out.
Fringe baseball people might be out. Come on.
Andrew, how old are you?
I'm 26.
Okay, so when I was watching the Phillies growing up, I had to deal with the likes of Mickey Moore, Greg Jeffries, Alex Arias, Kevin Sefcik, Robert Person, all these people. Right?
And don't forget Danny Tartabull fouling a ball off of his foot 3 games into his career and then just retiring.
Unbelievable. So the only thing that kept me into it when I was with my grandmother at her house was the Fanatic. She loves the Fanatic. She instilled the love of Fanatic in me. He's the only thing that really keeps me going.
Oh, man, Robert Person hit a home run. He hit 2 home runs in a game.
That was actually pretty cool. But I'm 100% out. And the fact that it even got to this point where it's a story in the paper.
Right? I'm stunned.
How didn't they nip this in the bud a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago? How do they let it get to a point where this company, this no-name company, has leverage on the Phillies? It's a joke.
It's pathetic. And honestly, I mean, CBS, I don't know the numbers of what this company is looking for, but they want a cash grab. And rightfully so. If the contract is up, they're legally obligated to it. Give them the 50, 60 million, whatever the hell it takes. You cannot lose the Fanatic. I know it sounds like a bitchy, kind of hot takey opinion, but I'm with you, man. You can't let that happen.
No, listen, they want to play games with money. They played games with JT Realmuto, the best catcher in baseball. Now they're playing games with the best mascot. It's an actual joke. The best thing about baseball is that there's no salary cap. It's unlimited funds. Make it happen. Keep the Fanatic in Philly. It's a joke.
Yeah, I hear you.
My next point, I'll make it short. The most important player in the Sixers is going to be Joel Embiid and his ability to lay off Chick-fil-A milkshakes come playoff time. If he's able to not have diarrhea during a playoff
show, that would be big.
Come up, if he can play, 100%, get some, drink some green smoothies or whatever, and instead of, having everybody around him be yes men, get him these spicy chicken sandwiches and these milkshakes during the playoff time. It's like, dude, you're 7-2. Bear down for a month and, enjoy your milkshakes after the fact. I think he suffers from Michael Jackson syndrome, where he didn't have a childhood, and now he's in America, and now he's, going all out, doing whatever. So I think that's his biggest problem.
I hear you, and CBS, thanks for the call.
All right.
I'm sure that was deep. He has. I think what he meant was he didn't have access to a lot of the things here that he did in back in Cameroon. I don't think he meant like he had a poor childhood. I think he just meant like he wasn't privy to a cookies and cream milkshake at will whenever he wanted.
He was also middle class.
Yeah. And his father was very well-to-do in the army there. Yeah. But like here, my fat ass can go, which one of these nine apps do I want to get something incredibly fat with?
Yeah, no, I get
you
that.
You probably don't have that in Cameroon.
He's got to do the Andrew Saltunas diet, the Raisin Bran for breakfast every morning. That fiber clears you out, man. I'm telling you.
Man, my wife and I hadn't been out on, for a while to like a nice restaurant with Sans baby. We went nuts last night. I was so uncomfortable by the end of the meal. She looked at me and like, when you get like so full, you're just like whole body goes like kind of rigid.
You
and
you're
so
hate yourself, but you also
hated
yourself at the same time.
I ate so much last night. I had a blast. Chris, AJ, Tasty Cake, Dom, you guys are coming up next. Really excited to talk to you guys. Lots on the table today. We got Philly Fanatic, patheticness. Andrew's rolling his eyes over there.
I'm out. If they, you're not
dude,
out.
A lot of people love the Fanatic.
I love the Fanatic. He's awesome.
I think you hate the Fanatic.
Okay,
you communist.
No, we're doing this again.
Time at the Fanatic's 11:24.
Don't do that. Don't you dare.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Big XFL action today. Your boy Phillip Walker leading the Roughnecks into Tampa Bay to take on Connor's Vipers squad.
Yeah, Connor's a big Vipers guy.
He's got the t-shirt and everything.
We might fight after the show.
Oh, so you're officially a Roughnecks guy because of Walker, right?
Because of Walker.
He's the best player in the league.
Yeah.
He's going to find himself in Matt Rhule's camp, isn't he?
No.
I think he will.
You think so?
I think he's going to play himself into a training camp, yeah.
So it's going to be Carolina, though? Carolina,
I mean,
bust?
If you're Matt Rhule, you got to do him a solid, right?
I mean, he could get a call from someone else.
He could very easily, but you got to think.
Terrible backups that are in this damn league in the NFL.
By the way, the backup quarterback position is going to be an interesting one. There's a lot. This Eagles offseason is going to be fascinating.
I don't know what they do with McCown. Like, he didn't do much, right?
I can't believe he played that entire game with a torn hamstring.
I know, like, you give him credit, but like, here's the thing: it's like that wasn't. I'm sorry, he's 20,000 times more athletic than I am. That was an old man injury. I haven't done anything all season long. He probably wasn't practicing anymore.
I mean, is anybody out there going to be knocking down the door for Nate Sudfeld?
No, I don't think
you've invested 3 years in this guy.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I mean, I would think he's probably your backup, no, but
they,
the way they
drafted that stiff from Northwestern.
Yeah.
He was terrible.
Here's a Howie, if you're listening, stop drafting Northwestern quarterbacks. Stop.
Yeah. Please. they're not good.
Clayton Thorson. Mike Kafka.
Yeah, why are
we're good here.
Why are we doing this?
We've covered the bases.
Yeah.
Just stop.
Why are we doing this?
It's going to be fascinating to see what they do. I would think Nate Sudfeld's the leading.
I'm not fascinated by the backup.
I meant the whole offseason, because there's going to be a lot of moves that are coming, mainly the Alshon Jeffrey move. That one's going to be fascinating.
That will be.
To see if you can find a team to take him off your hands, because the article came out yesterday on The Athletic that, you know, Carson and Alshon didn't see eye to eye, and they described the relationship as rocky. And then I saw Alshon Jeffrey's agent. Now, this was telling. The agent quote tweeted the article and said, Alshon loves his time in the city of brotherly love and always enjoyed his time with Philadelphia.
Shut up.
He didn't mention anything about the relationship with Carson Wentz, though. That's true. I think that was very telling.
That's true.
He talked about him loving the city and being here.
He won a Super Bowl with this squad, and I get it. It was with Nick Foles as the quarterback. But come on, dude. I don't know.
How's everyone doing?
The Alshon Jeffrey thing, I don't understand.
It's weird.
Unless it was more of a personal thing where he couldn't connect with Carson, and then he took that onto the field. Like, I don't know.
I don't think he took it onto the field, per se, but he definitely took it to the national media, which was the biggest problem.
Like,
there's no doubt he was the Josina guy.
It's not like Carson neglected Alshon on the field.
No,
clearly Ertz was his number one.
It's not like Alshon's going to get a pass and, like, throw it down on the ground. Like, he's not going to bring it onto the field.
I get that. But, like,
clearly their relationship was not there.
But I just don't get it, because he did get targets. He was, I'm pretty sure, the second most targeted, like, in the span of the years, because he's missed so much time.
I think Alshon is the diva wide receiver that doesn't have the diva wide receiver front to him.
Yeah, he doesn't have the talent.
Well, he's talented, but he's not an OBJ. Yeah. He's not like one of these guys that's braggadocious about their divaness. He's more behind the scenes, weaselish diva, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So,
makes sense.
They're going to have to pay probably, I'm guessing, $8 or $9 million of his 15 this year just to unload him. And maybe find a team like the Jets or somebody like that
that's willing to pick up half of the contract.
I mean, yeah, if you can get an Alshon Jeffrey for $6 million out there, yeah, he's got some appeal to
some
team.
With this story coming out, it actually almost kind of like hurts the Eagles, because now they're going to be like, you really want him out of here.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to pick up even more of that contract.
Yeah, and you might have to throw a draft pick in the mix too. So it'll be interesting to see there's a lot of moves to come with this Eagles team. Backup quarterback, certainly one of them.
Yes.
Would you bring in Joe Flacco? Somebody like that, veteran type?
He's asking for a lot of money, sure.
Probably not. Yeah. And he still lives. I mean, his wife and kids live in the area.
I like having a reliable backup quarterback. I mean, you should.
With Carson Wentz.
Yeah, there's some teams where it's like, really, that's your backup quarterback?
Right? Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, sure. Interesting.
If I had to give you $100 free dollars right now to place a wager on where Tom Brady's playing quarterback next year.
New England.
Yeah, same.
But I don't think he's going anywhere.
I don't think they can afford to lose. They have no plan.
I would legitimately be shocked if he goes elsewhere.
The Raiders allegedly want to throw him 2 years, $60 million.
Okay. I also think he wants to win. I don't think the Raiders are ready to win.
No, probably not. They're young, but
they're not ready to win. They're going to be another 500.
No,
team.
They're not.
They built that ridiculous stadium for another 500 team.
Yeah, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see.
By the way, I'm sorry that we haven't brought it up at all today. 40 years ago, USA hockey.
And Mike Ruzioni
took down Russia.
So do you believe in miracles?
Yeah, 40 years ago, and your boy Darren Revelle.
He actually blocked me on Twitter.
I know he did.
It sucks, because I actually kind of enjoy some of his tweets.
He put out a tweet. This Al Michaels, that was only the second hockey game he ever called.
Wow.
And he has one of the most infamous lines.
It's probably the most famous sports broadcasting call ever.
That's up there, probably, because obviously it meant a lot more, right?
Yeah, it was put in movies.
Yeah, exactly. I can't believe I just saw Jack Buck. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is like, you know.
Yeah.
This is Cold War.
That's a Mount Rushmore sports calls, man.
Yeah.
Let's go to Chris in Williamstown. What's up, Chris?
Jamie, Andrew, always a pleasure talking to you two. You know, you guys get back from break, I decided to go look at the lineup. And I saw a name playing second base that wasn't Cesar Hernandez.
Yeah, incredible, right?
Got a smile on my face. For
God, he's Cesar was here, what, 7 years?
He was here for a long time.
It's been a long time.
He really has only been an everyday player for the last, like, three, maybe four. Yeah. Like, the first 3 years he was up, he was a backup and stuff like that. But, yeah, he's been here for a long time.
Yeah, and then seeing Scott Kingery in there, you know, it gives me a little bit of hope because that's where ultimately I would like to see Kingery playing at second base every day instead of Hernandez. But
yeah, he doesn't have the arm for the left side of the infield, unfortunately, but he's going to be your starting everyday third baseman, most likely.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, until Alec Boehm comes up, which may be, I forget the date, but like I would imagine they have the Chris Bryant-ish date in mind with him. I'll have to look up the exact date, but it's about a month and a half into the season.
That would be interesting. I hope they find a way to get
Yeah, why not? Let's party. I mean, we never put fruit in the youth's basket, so let's go for it before it's too late.
Well, I think they changed a lot more positions up than it was the past few years. But see, I'll give you my guy for the Phillies, and I'm going to be unconventional. So I'm going to go with our closer, Hector Neris. I think
it's a good one.
You look at a baseball team in general. If you have a good closer, you have a good shot at, you know, not blowing a lead when you have it, like this team has. Like, I still think our bullpen is... Once Robertson was kind of declared not ready for the season, I kind of think, uh-oh, here we go again, especially because you didn't pick a starting pitching.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Andrew, you know, I made a premonition to you last year around bamboo time when I told you that the collapse was
happening. Yeah, you knew it. You called it. I give you a lot of credit for that.
I actually feel very confident going into the season just from what I just laid out. Like,
all right.
Moved on from so many of the core guys they've had over the few years. I think this is a refreshing new team to start off with. And then the manager. So, and then, you know, as far as Flowers goes, like, I think Travis Konecny stepping up would help. Like, if you have more pieces stepping up, that's always going to be the key, is more pieces stepping up. And then last but not least, my Sixers guy. See, for me, if Furkan, for some reason, can keep doing having those 30, 20 points.
Yeah, I mean, that's not going to happen. He's not going to give 30. Well, but if he can give you,
thanks, Chris.
If he can give you 12 of 15, okay.
Well, I think Furkan doesn't work without Ben.
Yeah, you're right.
I think we saw that on Thursday night. He looked.
Well, he saw it against the Clippers, too. He was he had 0 points that game. And Ben
was
there.
He looked like a G League player the other night without Ben.
Well, I mean, with the.
There's no. He's. He can create a little bit of separation on his own. Not really. He does have a fairly quick release.
Yeah.
But he needs that separation that Ben creates for
him. I need to see him do it against good team. I mean, that's like we say that about Carson all the time. Oh, do it against a real team.
Yeah.
So, well, I need, like, Korkmaz, yeah, those games against, like, the Bulls, that was awesome when he scored 30 points.
Yeah.
But let me see you do it against Clippers.
And you
he
might.
0 points.
And you might need a guy like him tonight because. It's clear, and we only have two games that they've played against Milwaukee so far, but both games, Brett's direction, playing and beating the Bucks, is shoot threes.
Shooting threes and be with 10 attempts
yeah.
And the Christmas Day game. And B took a lot of the Christmas Day game, but it wasn't as much of a story because he actually made them.
Yeah, and the team shot, like, what, 46% from three that game or something?
Oh, they had 22 threes.
Yeah,
it was
insane. So they're going to be shooting threes tonight, so a guy like Korkmaz could play a monster role tonight out in Milwaukee. Tasty Cake Dom's on the line. I know he's jacked out of his mind for this game tonight.
You know, you're excited for Bud Norris coming out of the Phillies bullpen.
Love it.
Drew Storen.
Oh, yeah.
You're
no, but like
up.
A Drew Storen signing is a type of move you should make.
Okay.
That's one of those, hey, here's a lasso, here's 10 of you old guys that have had success in this league. Let's hope the two of you work, and you pull them in for cheap, and you pray for the best.
You're fired up about former starting prospect Ranger Suarez, who can't pitch on two back-to-back days.
Yeah,
I'm out
on Ranger Suarez. I'd much rather roll with Francisco Liriano.
I still remember the game that went 16 innings, and Roman Quinn had a pitch because Ranger Suarez pitched an inning the night before.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, are you serious?
Yeah. Not a good look to the locker room. AJ in Jenkintown, you're up as well. She wants to talk about her man, Alshon. Uh-oh. Alshon.
What about her man, Mike Scott?
Yeah, he's not in my playoff rotation.
No.
Yeah. Sorry, Mike. Love you, but bad year. He's Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Time at the Fanatic is 11:41.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Jamie Lynch, Andrew South, tune us in with you for another hour as the Flyers Jets Winnipeg will be broadcast here on the station with the crew. So we'll be taking you right up until the pregame show with Tim Saunders and the boys down at the Farg. Are you in on the Farg? In or out on the Farg? I'm not going to go Barn. I'm not going to go Wells Fargo Center because I feel like a nerd.
The Farg?
Farg.
This is literally the first time I've ever heard anybody refer to that building as the Farg.
The Farg.
Is that a thing on Twitter?
Sixers Twitter gets into the Farg.
What?
You're out on the Farg?
Yes.
I'm in on the Farg.
I'd rather just go to the center.
No.
That's
too generic.
Okay. It's fine.
Center could be in any city in any town USA.
The Farg.
The Farg.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay. The center is such a boomer name for a place.
Yeah, okay, it really is.
Now Connor's a Mr. Vipers fan over here. Well, he's jumping in on the boomer bandwagon.
He's calm as I see him, man.
Yeah, he's upset because the Roughnecks are going to work his Viper squad today.
I already took the Roughnecks. I just put in two bets.
Yeah? Took the Roughnecks minus the -7. It's a lock.
That's a total lock.
That might be Vipers a mortgage sink. Payment type of bet. The other bet, DraftKings is running a little fight night promo. You can get either fighter at plus 120, I think it was.
That's kind of cool.
So I took Deontay.
Yeah, I like Deontay Wilder tonight.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a hell of a fight.
My boxing expertise, you know.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I mean, when you think boxing, you think Andrew Salchunas and Jamie Lynch.
I mean, I've watched Rocky at least 25 times each, each one. So I obviously.
I mean, clearly. Have you seen Creed, though?
No. No, I saw Creed 1. I haven't seen, and it's not because I didn't like Creed 1.
Creed 1 was awesome.
Creed 2 was on a free movies page on my Comcast box.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I might watch it soon.
Oh, look at you knowing how to explore a Comcast box.
Yeah, I explored it yesterday.
That's good work by you.
Guess what movie I watched this time.
What?
Good Will Hunting.
This was your first time ever seeing Good Will Hunting?
No, I've seen it a couple times. Okay. It was the wife's first time.
Ah.
Yeah.
How'd she like it?
She was looking at her phone a lot.
She didn't like, how do you like these apples?
She laughed a few times.
All right. It's a good flick.
It's
so
a great movie.
My daughter's name is Skylar. Skylar, played by Minnie Driver in that, is helped turn the curve for me in terms of that name because I hated Skylar White from Breaking Bad so much that I hated her so much. So when my wife brought up Skylar.
She was awful.
She was terrible.
Like, she was awful.
Yeah.
Like, your husband is dying.
This is the brilliance of the show. Walter White is a terrible person, but you end up cheering for him.
Yeah, but he's dying over here, and you...
But then there's a point where he's not, and he just becomes evil.
You're now going off and hanging out with...
Sleeping with Ted?
Ted?
Ted.
Come on, man.
Ted.
I hated her.
Yeah, she sucked.
I was waiting for her to get off in the show.
Yes!
And I was, like, hoping it happened.
And that's why I hated the name Skylar at first. And then my wife one day
When the email came out that your child was born, I got angry. I was like, Skylar? Damn it!
But then I thought of Minnie Driver.
Yes.
The Skylar from Good Will Hunting. And I went, all right, that was a good Skylar.
She's just coming in a movie. Cinderella.
Minnie Driver fell off the face of the earth.
2008, yeah, she hasn't done much.
Yeah, she hasn't. Let's go to a man who I know is excited for the fight and a little Sixers action tonight, our buddy Tasty Cake, Dom. What's up, Dom?
Hey, James. Hey, Andrew.
What's up, Dom? Big night tonight, Dom.
James, I'm with you. I like Wilder, too. You got to sweat out the first five rounds. I mean, 272, Tyson Fury is not going 9-10 rounds. He's got to get him out of here by the fifth or you're going to win the bet. There's no way... He's, by the ninth round, Tyson Fury is gassed out of his mind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
too much weight.
Wilder's in better shape, for sure.
Better tactician.
Yeah? You going to be watching it tonight, Dom?
The fight, yes.
What time's that actually going off? I haven't looked at that part.
I think that they'll get in the ring around 11 o'clock, James.
Oh,
I think it's going to work. I think it's going to work out almost perfect.
All right. With the Sixers ending and then right into the fight?
Right.
I'm so happy it's a national game tonight because I'm traveling. Selfishly, I'm going down to D.C. And if I was going to have to like stream that or something, it would have been a miserable night. So I'm pumped it's on national TV tonight.
I wanted to tell you this real quick, James. I know I touched that Kevin Negandhi. I thought that was a great, and he's a good guest.
He's a good representation of Philly on the national stage.
Sometimes these national guys, you just can tell that they heard secondhand from somebody else. Like I really felt like he watches Sixers games.
Oh, he does, and he watches Temple games. He watches Flyer games. He's a nut like us.
Yep. The other thing about Legs, who I also love, Andrew, is there's a guy. You know, that was a tremendous compliment. But there's a guy in San Antonio that was pretty daggone good in the post, don't you think?
Yeah, the big fundamental.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
I mean,
Embiid is probably closer to Tim Duncan's style of game than he is Shaq.
But I agree that he was Shaq. The way that this, you said, James, that this is a big game for Joel. I think it's a big game for Brett because when they went down six, they went down six with his nonsense. Josh Richardson missed the three-pointer. Mm-hmm. Burke missed the three-pointer. When the way they caught them is they funneled the ball down to Joel. There is nobody that can guard. There ain't a Lopez on planet Earth that can guard Joel Embiid. So he's going to shoot foul shots.
And I got to give Brett credit the other night.
And that's the way they won the game.
Dom, he limited Horford to 19 minutes the other night. And that was a good job by Brett. You got to give him credit for that because he knew that Horford was just cooked the other night.
Cooked. I got one more thing for you, James. Yeah. You forget it. It's Dr. J's 70th birthday.
How about that?
What do Dr. J and Tim Duncan have in common? Glaring thing. Think of their game. Best bank shooters.
I was just going to say they use the glass.
Were you going to say it?
Right where I got to because I was trying to think. I saw a picture of Doc earlier with the baseline coming around, you know, banking it off the glass. Yeah, both guys use the glass about as good as anybody in the NBA.
Yep. Love you guys.
Thanks, Dom. Have fun tonight, buddy. It's going to be a great night tonight. Really looking forward to it. Coming up next, we got a big segment. AJ and Jenkintown's going to lead us off. We got to dive into the Alshon thing. I do want to touch on the Real Muto arbitration case. I think some people are making too much of it.
Yeah, like we had a caller earlier that said, the Phillies are messing with Real... No, it's...
But at the same time...
Okay,
there's a sour taste left in your mouth. Okay. When I hear... And this is why, because JT Realmuto said... They used an outdated arbitration system against me and the catchers.
No, at the same time, the Phillies, the baseball.
Yes. It's about all catchers and not particular to the Phillies.
Yes,
but the Phillies are the ones presenting the case, and there's no way that doesn't leave a little bit of a sour taste in your mouth.
Listen, the Phillies said on the side, "Hey, listen,
we'll make it up for you on the." Yes. Let's hope that happens. Because you can't lose them. You traded away your top catching prospect and your top pitching prospect at the time to get this guy.
Come on, you didn't like that. What was his name? I forget his name.
It sounded like the cheese. Gruyere.
No, David Gruyere.
No, what the hell was his name?
The dude that was on the rock. He sucked.
He was their top catching prospect. Yeah, what was
Jorge Alfaro?
Jorge Alfaro. Not Alfaro. Oh. I'm thinking of the other guy they traded since then. Whatever.
No, you traded Alfaro.
Yes,
to
you
get
did.
It was Alfaro and Sixto Sanchez.
Yeah. But they've moved on from the other prospects since then.
I thought you meant Alfaro was their...
No. I mean, Alfaro was their top catching prospect. Whatever, he's got a good arm.
Oh, come on.
Didn't he have a decent year last year?
He ended up being hurt a lot. Like, he was actually not...
Didn't he start out hot or something?
So people got all, oh my God, they should not have traded him because Realmuto was hitting 270 and Alfaro was hitting 330 because he played two games in a span of like 8 weeks and he had two good games, but I was like, don't just Google, like, actually look into the box scores or like look into his stats a little bit.
He's Jorge Alfaro's biggest fan. I'm Jamie Lynch. Lord. We're in with you until 12:50, leading you up to Flyers hockey today as the Jets are in town. Down at the Farg.
No.
Time at the Fanatics, 11:55.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.